Welcome back to Degrassi. It's the Back to Degrassi podcast. I'm your host, Tim McDonald, back again after a long break. Sorry about that, everybody, but you know what? We're finally back. I'm going to hammer through the rest of the Degrassi years. It's right in a row. We got about 1 year left to go. Got a bunch in the can. We're going to do it. Starting with this episode, Making Whoopi. And they aren't talking about making a cake, but talking about sex, and they do feature a whoopee cushion prominently in this episode, of course, taking the hard pun on this one. I had two incredible guests on the show to welcome it back. I had Ife Chiwetelu, whose name I will butcher momentarily in the episode. I may have butchered it again right there. I feel better about that one. You can follow her on Twitter, but she's performing all over the city. You can get her at Bad Dog Theater, a comedy bar, doing stand-up and improv. My other guest, Scott McLean, he does such a great job of promoting stand-up comedy in Toronto through his blog, McLeanisms.com. You should check that out. And he also does a live show, The Hustle, at Comedy Bar. That next one is on July 20th. You should definitely check that out. Follow him on Twitter, at McLeanisms as well. All right, I think we are good to go. Oh yeah, you can catch me at Absolute Comedy in Toronto periodically, so check my Twitter out there, and I'll throw out dates and everything. All right, let's get, and that's at TimFMMcDonald. You know the drill, follow the podcast at Back to Degrassi. Check us out on Twitter, at Facebook, on Facebook at Facebook.com/Back to Degrassi. I am nailing this intro. We got just one mistake in there. I think we're ready to do it. Let's go back to Degrassi. This is Back to Degrassi, episode 40. We watched the episode Making Whoopi. This week, I have a couple hilarious guests with me. First up, she's been tearing up the Toronto comedy scene. I'm happy to have Ife Chiwetelu here.
Hey!
I think I still butchered
it. Still screwed up. So much practicing. That's okay, though.
We could not have spent more time practicing.
More time than the episode itself.
I think, yeah. Pretty much we met up today to hang out and me work on practicing pronouncing your name.
Yeah.
And I failed.
That's okay. You tried.
My second guest as well, out west originally, now in Toronto, just killing it around here, Scott McLean.
Hey.
Thanks for being on.
You got my name.
I got your name right.
No hesitation there.
Yeah, I think we...
You know what I don't understand? Scott McLean has so many... Like, his first name only has one vowel.
Mm-hmm.
His last name just has two vowels back to back. So there's so many consonants all together. You know, while my name, there's a vowel almost every other letter to just allow for the ease of pronunciation. Yet this society, the colonizers, have made Scott McLean more easy to pronounce than Ife Chiwetelu.
Oh yeah, so. you say his name with the white privilege that it deserves.
Exactly.
To be fair, when Jess Beaulieu was on the show, also butchered her name.
Beaulieu.
Yep.
See how I also learned that one? I'm done. I don't take offense.
When I first, because I read your name first before we met, and so for me it was Ife because of the IF as in if, and then once I heard it, Ife, but then I had to flip it in my brain to have like five, which is how I wrote it out for Tim to help him, like five E's in a row, F, and then another five E's, and then I'm like, cool. It's locked in.
I like to tell people, like, think like an electronic fee, like an e-fee. Like the way you should be paying me for this podcast. E-transfers.
Oh, we got to talk.
What? My payment was watching the episode?
Wasn't it? And really, you can't put a price on that.
No,
I don't think.
You can't put a price.
I mean, advertisers did. But so let me ask you, Evie, what was your Degrassi background?
Oh, my goodness. So I grew up in Calgary, Alberta, mm-hmm. for the most part. So I remember watching it in Calgary, and I thought, I just remember being very fascinated by it because I grew up in a community that had very little diversity. So I remember watching these Degrassi episodes and just seeing, you know, different people of color in the episode. I'm seeing even in this episode we watched how there was this one clip of a woman in a sari exiting a parent-teacher interview. And I remember watching it and having those moments and thinking, wow. But I also remember watching it and just thinking how dramatic their school was. I'm like, we're just fighting over pogs mm-hmm. and Tamagotchis. And they were busy, you know. There was pregnancies. There was eating disorders. There was twins. I don't know. There was so
it
many
does,
things.
Were you in junior high or high school yet?
No.
Yeah, so it kind of creates, you're like, this is what junior high and high school? Yeah.
Exactly. What year was this?
This one, oh yeah, I should say, this episode, season 3, episode 13, originally aired February 27th, 1989.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, so I mean, I was for sure 5 years old.
So you probably saw it on the re-airs in the 90s when it was on CBC then.
Yeah, that's when I saw
it. I saw it like as it was happening.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah.
Like first generation.
Yeah, because I remember watching... I remember watching the original the Degrassi Kids or not kids, whatever
the
it was.
The Kids of Degrassi.
The Kids of Degrassi. Yeah, I remember watching that. And I remember, because you're talking, this provided me such anxiety about life. Like, I was so, everything freaked me out about the possible, because I was going into junior high just as I was, like, finishing up this season 3. Or, yeah, or it was coming up for me. And then high school, too. And it's like, oh my, like, I'm not ready for this. Like, I can't handle... I can barely just handle going to class, let alone, like, there were so many heavy, the one that really affected me was the suicide one, or whatever that was, like, Snake,
yeah.
like, walks in and sees the guy that, stereotypical French guy, I think, or I don't know what his deal was, but, like, he had a goatee and, like, wore a leather vest, I think, and then he offed himself, and Snake found him, and I was that really traumatized me.
He was a weird mix of, like... Was it new wave kind of and like goth? I don't know. And like
I think
he had
an earring.
Punk.
He had an earring,
but a ponytail.
Yeah,
weird mix and a mustache.
Yeah,
I don't know. Interesting character. Okay, well, you know what? Let's get into this episode with a ridiculous name of making Whoopi. I believe it was MAKIN apostrophe Whoopi too. They'd be
so
making
cool.
it.
Yeah,
and like every Degrassi, this one starts with a cold open with the. Arthur and his dad, and they just got like a best of buds kind of relationship.
Arthur's father is a man child.
Yeah.
Through and through. I was just thinking, this whole episode could be Carrot Top's origin story. The whole time I was watching it, I'm just like, so many just physical gags.
Yeah.
And then a traumatic... divorce, which I think, you know, could be the origin story for so many comedians. That's I was so obsessed with that the whole time.
Yeah. Story. Oh, yeah.
It's like that, after the divorce, I knew I had to make people laugh.
But yeah. When you were a kid, didn't you gravitate towards like really shitty toys though? Like that was what I found, cause I remember those. We would get those like gummy hands and like flick them on the wall, and they're just so dumb. Like when you look back, you're like, "That's such a dumb toy." We have so much fun, and so I identify with like the ice cream cone that like flicks in the guy's face, and all these stupid. Because you're just like a dumb kid, and these stupid things make you laugh. But I loved that Carol stayed outside for that first intro to like set up kind of the tension. And then the line of Arthur being like, he's in his 30s, he's too old to date, or whatever that was. And I'm like, that's me! Like, and I'm trying to date, and he's probably right. I am too old to be dating at this age. It's awful.
Yeah, you need to find your Carol, is what it is.
Yes.
My favorite thing is within the first 10 minutes, Arthur's dad was like, oh, I'm getting you back for putting this fly in my soup. And then when he goes to school, Yik is like, I'm getting you back for putting this fly in my soup. And I'm like, Arthur, you're a one-trick pony, Arthur. You have so many toys. But this fly is like, he's like, this is it. This is the best one.
Yeah, and this, I mean, you kind of hit on a bunch of like, tension points. They like are like, okay, so his dad like mentions, oh, your mom's so rich. She's got, because basically the story there is that the parents got divorced and Stephanie, his sister, lived with the mom and he lived with the dad, which is kind of a weird setup.
That is a weird setup. Yeah.
But then she still will go and live with her mom sometimes and go on trips. Basically, that was the story that her...
No, she
won the lottery.
Oh.
The mom won the lottery, and that's when Steph, like, left the show. She was like, I'm out at Degrassi.
He's a postman. Like, I don't think the alimony from, like, a guy that delivers the mail.
Yeah. But can you think about how progressive that is for that time to have the father have custody?
Yeah, it's very...
Of the kids, especially in the situation where the mother has more than enough money.
Well, now... When at the time, like for when they were, she said the character got written off, and I think it was a story to write Stephanie K off the show, basically. Because it's actually a weird setup for the. I've only talked to one comedian who had this, where him and his brother went with the mom and he stayed. And yeah, so there's also the show that they talk about a little bit in this called Space Cadets. Yeah, that's right. And they watch it every week together.
Yeah.
But his dad bails on him here for his date with Carol. And he's wearing, you notice the jacket that he was wearing too, right?
The Redskins jacket.
Yeah, a lot of controversy over that team name now. We're talking about all the diversity in Degrassi, but they're just like, yeah, Redskins are cool though.
Exactly.
So then basically his dad leaves and Arthur's kind of left alone looking longingly. Mm-hmm. Is 13? Nah, 13's like an okay time to be home by yourself, I guess.
It is.
I think it's okay to be home by yourself. I identify with that because my parents split up and my dad started dating first. And he started dating this woman named Sherry. I was like, am I going to say it? I'm going to say it.
Are they still together?
Who was... No. Oh. My dad remarried. My dad... Both parents happily remarried. But my dad went out with this woman who was like the antithesis of my mom. Like she was like driving a Fiero and like wore a leather jacket and stuff. My mom was like, it was a very sweet woman, but doesn't wear leather jackets. And I remember being like, this is not good. Like, I don't like, you know, you're like, get back with my mom. Like, why, you know, my mom's great. Like, but it wasn't working for them. But then, you know, so you're cheering against your parents' happiness in a way, which is a weird kind of emotion or weird thing to be rooting for. But you're like, I don't want that to work out. And the same thing happened when my mom started finally dating to the man she's married to now, my stepdad, Bill, where I remember, and I was too old for this to happen. I was like 15 or 16, but my mom invited Bill to come to a friend of my, our families were also friends, but it was like one of my best friends to a dinner. And I was like, Bill can't come. I'm like, Bill, this is not. And like, I got so up, like I had like a 15-year-old temper tantrum to like not have him come. Cause I was like, no, like this, I'm standing in the way of this. I don't like this. I want my mom just to be like, you know,
you had a no bills allowed policy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You know what you just reminded me of? Something that always struck me watching this show. Because I was born in Nigeria, grew up for the most part in Canada. And I remember watching this show and just being shocked at kids calling adults by their first name. So even as you were like, oh, my mom started dating Bill, there's a part of me that's like, oh, it's uncle. Please call him uncle. Like, I don't understand. And I remember watching Degrassi and being like, man, white people. You guys just calling people by their first names left and right.
Would you say then, like, you'd always be Mr. or, like...
No, auntie. Auntie and uncle. I remember...
Even, like, if they're not related to you?
Even if they're not related.
Oh, wow, okay.
I remember doing it and people being uncomfortable. And I couldn't... You know, when my friend's parents were like, oh, just call me Darlene. And I'm like, okay, Auntie Darlene. Like, I couldn't do it.
So then when they get to school the next day, Arthur and Yik, I noticed that Yik has this like pretty good looking camera squirt gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, how did he afford that? He's like a 13-year-old. They look way too good.
Yeah.
And he also hasn't been to the Joe's Joke Emporium yet. Where did he get that? Did
he made it.
He made it.
He had to have made it.
Oh, yeah. That was the scene where Arthur gave the line, too. He's like, he's too old to date.
Yeah. I love that.
His life is over, okay?
I love how they don't talk about anything but Arthur's parents' relationship.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, good morning. So Dad and Sherry or whatever it was.
Okay. So there's the scene here with Luke, who did the acid with Shane when Shane jumped off the bridge and is now in a coma. And he's just, you could tell, I think both of you guys, without even knowing that he was in a bad way at that time.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause they played this ominous music. They went to him. And again, as someone who I can't remember the backstories of a lot of these episodes, as I was watching it, a lot of it was coming back to me. But I immediately was just like, what did this young black man do that there was just this ominous music when it got to him? And then I thought it was hilarious because I think his name was Luke.
Yep.
That character, they're like, oh, it was all this ominous music when it was Luke. Then Luke's walks off, and then all of a sudden it's happy music, and a guy named Snake comes out. I'm like, Snake doesn't get ominous music, but Luke does? Right. Luke is a biblical name. Anyway.
It is weird, because that's like the name of like the bad guy, the robber on The Simpsons is Snake.
Yeah. Right? But in this show, Snake is the heartthrob.
Yeah. You know what his real name is though too?
Archie.
Yeah. That's so weird. Why would you give Archie a nickname? Like that doesn't seem, you know, like.
Well, I just love like right before they cut to Luke, that girl, what is her name? Michelle, Melissa, something like that has a crush on
Melanie?
Snake. Melanie. Mm-hmm. An M name. A generic white M name.
Yes, exactly. Michelle, Melissa, I don't know.
She was like, Snake is such a hunk. He's good at math. I'm like, that's the first time in history that there was that and then that and together. I'm like, that never happens.
No,
that never happens. Especially in junior high.
Maybe that was a segue. Like, he's good at math. I should give him my number. Maybe she was setting up a joke. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Don't know what to do with these digits.
Exactly.
So it's kind of setting up the love triangle here because Melanie, she's also still into Snake, and they kind of talk about how they have like some bad dates. Mm-hmm. I found it so funny too when Snake does like walk up to Melanie, he's just like, it's the most awkward. I felt like that was pretty realistic of awkward junior high romance kind of situations. Yeah. They are that like, how's it going? You know?
Like, go on.
I was going to say, when I was in high school, I would ask out one girl a year, like, and we're built up to such a point, and then to get shut down, like, I could only handle it, like, one time a year to handle that, like, rejection every year, like, where I'd have a crush and then, like, work it up. So, like, I empathize with, like, that, the stakes are so high in those situations, needlessly. Mm-hmm. And then I like that she said, he's asked me out twice. He's not going to ask me out a third time. Like, or I shouldn't ask him. I'm like, he's asked you out twice.
Yeah.
Like, just ask him out. Go out, you bunch of dumb kids.
I love how the awkwardness of the flirting that was happening. Like how, I can't remember her name, Maleficent, whatever. She walks up to Snake and she's like, oh, do you know the answers in the math class? And then after that interaction, she turns to her friend and she's like, nailed it.
Yeah.
Like that got his dick wet.
But also the move. but the move to, and I had this happen to me on a date last week.
Yeah.
The like needless, a woman demonstrating like, I'm kind of into you. Touching you, but an awkward touch where you're like, that wasn't that, like, that was just a forced way to like, okay, I'm contacting you.
Exactly.
I'm placing my hand on you and I am showing interest in you.
Yeah, like very the formal way of doing that.
You know that to your date, I feel like that person just read a Cosmo article that was like 10 ways to let someone know you're into them. Did she hold eye contact for 3 seconds, then shyly look away?
Did she use your name often?
She did.
That's one of them for sure, yeah.
I also had that. Do you know Richard Glenn Lett?
Yeah,
he's a comic. He's doing a one-man show on it. He also used my name. Like we talked for like an hour, and he used my name like 12 times. And I'm like, are you hitting on me at this point? Like it's like.
Well, I think it's like one of the tips from How to Win friends influence people. That
You know what? I would recommend trying to get a Nigerian name because people just say that one time and then like, whoo, we made it. No one uses my name again in conversation. They'll use it in text messages, but never in conversation.
I also found this funny in the scene where scene eight of Arthur and Yik talking about Carol. She's like, oh, she's trying to be my mom. She's always like, hey, Arthur, how was school? Those are like the most, like, sounds like she's just trying to have a conversation.
Desperately trying to make small talk with with a kid, right?
Like, yeah.
And then she probably doesn't have children too, so what would she know? I'm assuming. I was just making an assumption. Yeah, I don't know anything about Carol's backstory, but the way she interacted with Arthur, I was like, I don't think she had, because she's like rubbing his, she's like, hey Arthur, how was school? And then like rubs his hair.
Yeah.
like your date.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Also right here, this is one of my favorite parts when they do like the school announcements. I think we all heard this one where he was like, due to lack of interest, the pep rally has been canceled.
For the second time.
I love it so much. Because pep rallies are around, you know, like a sporting event typically. Yeah.
It's not like a general pep rally.
Exactly. Just like, be happy. No, this is around, I'm assuming, some sort of sporting event. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. No one cares at Degrassi. They're too busy focusing on their parents' divorces, eating disorders, who did acid with whom. There is no time to cheer for the football team.
Very true. Then there's a conversation between Snake and Joey where Joey's like, oh man, Melanie, she's a baby. Allison, she's a babe. Yeah, classic Joey line.
I just feel like the writer who wrote that just put an extra check mark. It's like, man, I am crushing it. You're lucky to have me in this writer's room.
Definitely. And, you know, it kind of shows, too, that Snake's not interested in Allison at all, though, right? Yeah. Like, that's, like, Melanie's worried about it, and Allison's thinks she would be, but, like, the fact is, Snake's not interested at all.
It's, yeah.
Well, also, like, this was kind of, like, the most serious moment of the episode, I think, too, when, like, Luke walks up to the character Tim, who had just visited Shane in the hospital, and Tim just, like, calls him out. This is the first time where he's like, you should just go there to yourself. And he's like, you know, me in hospitals. And then he just kind of like, he calls him on it. This is like, Tim gets so little, like, for the fact that Tim is on the show like the entire time, this might be the most like,
he's on the show.
Yeah. Like this was his, like a big scene for him. And I always kind of felt bad because he's like my namesake character. And he just like, never gets any screen time.
You know what I thought was funny? Just because I was watching this and I was like, man, this reminds me of my junior high experience where you just only speak to the one other black person in your school. That's the only person
I shouldn't laugh.
You talk to. Because literally, I remember in high school, one other black girl came. And I'm telling you, for every week, people were like, do you know Carol? And I was like, no, I don't, but I need to meet her, apparently. Everyone's like, you don't know her? You didn't, were you, you haven't been hanging out? So I had to physically seek her out just so when people were asking me if I had met her yet, if we had had a conversation, I could answer yes.
I think actually, though, like,
I'm sure in other episodes.
No, this is unusual. Like, these are two characters who don't hang out. Like, I would say, like, the black guys on the show are kind of in different, like, friend groups. Because, like, BLT's friends with Simon and, like, dates Melissa. Tim's kind of a little bit nerdier. Like, he'll hang out with other people in, like, what is it? Like, student council and stuff. And then Luke is like a bad guy, kind of. Like, he'll do drugs and whatever, acid and let people jump off bridges, you know?
See, I remember some of those moments from other episodes. It just struck me in this episode where I was like, man, this could have been shot in Calgary. This could have been shot.
It more reminds me of how everything was such a deal. You know, like every little like beef or anything, it was like, oh my God, like, can you believe this? Where I remember when I was in junior high, I broke up with I was dating a girl for like a month. Mm-hmm. Like, the only girl I dated in junior high for, like, a month. And I got word that she had pushed the sister of one of my friends, and I was like, it's over. Like, it's too big a deal. And because I'm such a coward, had my friend break up with her. And, like, I'm like, okay, it's going down today. I left class 10 minutes early and booked it home so I didn't have to deal with the fallout of the breakup. Yeah.
What happened the next day?
The next day, I pretended like nothing had ever happened. But yeah, because anything that went on was just magnified. Like, it was like, if someone, you're like, oh, did you hear this person kiss someone? It was like, oh, they're married? Like, they kissed? Or if someone got in a fight, it was like, we're on sides now. It's Crips and Bloods. Like, you know, everything was so magnified. We're now, if I could go back and be like, none of this fucking matters, you fucking idiots. Grow up already, you know?
It's funny how much things do seem like they matter at that time.
Yeah. Can I just say, I feel like I could do an entire podcast on Shane's hair. It just reminds me of...
Luke, sorry.
Luke?
Whose hair do you mean? Shane wasn't in the episode. I just keep saying
sorry.
It by accident.
Whichever was the dark skin one.
Yeah, sorry, Luke.
Yeah, that was Luke?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So who was the other one?
Tim.
Okay.
Tim went to the hospital. Luke is the guy who's, like, mopey and doesn't want to go to the hospital.
Okay.
That's what you meant?
Great. So earlier when I said when they came out and they played that ominous music, that was for Tim.
No, that was for Luke.
Okay, so...
Shane is the one who jumped off the bridge on acid in the
hospital. Which is the one that was by the locker... And then that one...
The guy that was guilt
tripping?
Doesn't matter.
If you watch the episode, you'll know whose hair I'm talking about. Just because it reminded me of... Do you remember when the Caesar haircut was a thing?
Yeah.
So I know quite a few young black men in Calgary who got their hair, like, chemically relaxed. But just in this section, like, just in that part, just so they could do that. And it's weird because it just sits... And as it grows, it just sits atop... a flourishing afro, just these few strands that are perfectly straight and jutting forward. And I looked at that guy's hair on this episode and I was like, he did it first. I could talk an hour just on that hair. If anyone is interested in having that conversation, please.
So look for Evie's spinoff podcast, Luke's Hair. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, one of my favorite parts of this episode, oddly, was the character Alex working on his... Oh. Welcome to Degrassi.
Yeah.
Welcome to Degrassi. Welcome to Degrassi. I'd like to get you guys to do your reading of Welcome to Degrassi.
Degrassi? Yeah, yeah, okay. Welcome to Degrassi.
Whoa.
Right? Welcome. Do you?
Fuck. Welcome to Degrassi.
Oh, yeah.
I know where I am. Thank you. Also, this is when they're kind of like going over parents' night and Melanie drops the papers and Allison finds it goddamn
hilarious.
Like, way too funny. Yeah. Like, oh my God, papers on the floor. They don't go there.
Exactly. The whole time, I just wanted to will Snake to help her pick him up. Because he just looked at them. I think any human being, if you spill or drop something in front of you, should, you know, help you pick it up. It was a weird moment.
I guess, maybe true to Degrassi High, or just, I mean, not Degrassi, to junior high, because I guess people are, like, 12-year-olds are pretty vicious, right? Yeah. Like, they're gonna, so I guess that's fair.
Have you ever also been in a room where you've been talking to yourself, and then someone else walks in? That's what I loved about the Melanie and her friend.
Yeah.
Was it Kathleen, who had the eating disorder, where she's, like, talking about, hey, Snake, and, like, whatever. And then her other friend, she's like, oh, my God, I can't.
Happens a lot in Degrassi, too. Yeah. Not the first time someone's been talking to themselves. Sometimes, other times they've been talking about the person who is in the washroom. Yeah. Yeah. That's happened, and it's just like...
You'd think at this point they would check the stalls. Yes. You really do,
I feel like I still do. I'm just like... Anytime I'm talking to myself in a public washroom, I take a look.
Exactly.
Oh, then it goes back to Arthur's house, and him and Yik, they're planning a trip to Joe's Joke Emporium, which Arthur has a sweater of. I don't know if you guys noticed that. And his dad comes home with Carol, and he's bailing on them for bowling. Very.
It was like he was announcing that they had gotten engaged the way he turned to Carol and said, we're going bowling. And like, it was such a big deal, and it was just boiling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a director's choice. Like, it was like really, yeah. like, this is the most important night of these two's lives.
Yeah.
They have committed to going bowling in their league at work. Maybe it's the work thing, because I think they're both male. Yeah. Like, she's yeah. a male character, too, yeah, right? So maybe together. That was part of it.
Yeah.
But it was so, like, the way he said it, and you could feel, like, Arthur's heart break, too, yeah. in that moment of, like, they're going bowling over the thing they had planned to do.
Exactly.
And his dad didn't even remember it at all.
Yeah.
And then,
then the moment, oh, I know you're going to talk about it.
It's, so his dad is like, do you want a beer, Carol? And she's like, oh yeah. And then she's like, you know what? She surveys the room. She's like, this is going to be too awkward to sit in here with these little fuckers.
Yeah.
So she goes, so like, I'll go with you. And then as she like walks in the kitchen, he slaps her ass.
Oh, yeah. Oh God. I love that there's just these two... I'm going to guess they're 12-year-old boys
yeah.
just observing the sexual tension yeah. between these two adults, just watching and being like, man, they're making out in the kitchen right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sick. And we're just going to Joe's Joke Emporium trying to get more whoopee cushions.
Well, Yik sees that, and that's when he raises the question. He's like, do you think they're doing it? Which is, like, funny... It just shows how naive they are.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they don't know.
You know what I love?
They're totally doing it.
I love how, I think it was at the beginning of that scene where Arthur was like, hey, why don't you take a seat? Why don't you take a seat?
It was, yeah.
As if, and he had planted a whoopee cushion yeah. underneath, as if that was going to be the thing to break them up. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh gosh, once she sits on this chair and lets out this fart noise,
yeah.
and this relationship is over.
Just the thought that she could possibly fart, even if she can't. Because that's the weird thing, too, as a kid, because I didn't even... And I had such bad sex ed class where I thought for the longest time that women peed out their vaginas. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you don't like
it was all one hole.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Where yeah. he may even be like, women don't fart.
Yeah.
This will be great. Exactly. My dad will think she might fart and they're done. Like he'll be disgusted. He will break up with her on the spot and it's over. You know?
Exactly. Meanwhile, your dad has probably been, you know, nose deep yeah. into her poom poom.
Oh, yeah. And if there was any question, if there was just of your cure, you know, it's like right away, next scene's like, are they doing it? Arthur wakes up in the morning. For some reason, he's waking up his dad. That doesn't yeah. really make any sense. And then.
Exactly. And then they spend 24 minutes staring at each other.
Yeah.
He's staring, like, I walked in on my parents having, or
did
like,
you?
Like not having sex, oh, but they were naked or something in bed, and like it was like as soon you barely even take in the information, you're outside, gone. You're left, you run away from home, you know, like, you're gone.
Oh my God, have you ever walked in on a parent?
No,
I don't even. I honestly, my parents have four kids. And I, in my heart of hearts, believe they had sex four times. And I really feel like if you meet them, you two will come to the same conclusion. That it was just 100% rate of success. Four times, in and out.
Yeah.
So then afterwards, it's a very awkward breakfast at the Kobolowski home.
I like that
home.
He was still putting on his shirt when he came. Like, just to hammer home the point that he was naked with a woman in his bedroom. And didn't have time. Like, ugh, we were
can
just
you
having
imagine
so much sex.
If he came and, like, threw out the condom in the kitchen garbage. He was like, oh, so sorry, Arthur.
And yeah, Arthur kind of is like, what, are you going to marry her now? And he's like, he's like... Arthur's dad having to explain a very complicated adult relationship to his 12-year-old son. You could see he was struggling with it because, yeah. I can't, like, you can't do it. Like, how can you explain
yeah.
to someone who's not having sex that is like, no, we're just looking to have sex to be fulfilled, you know? Yeah. You can't really explain that to your kid.
This moment really reminded me of so many moments in that show where I'm pretty sure if my parents ever understood so much with the TV that I watched. This is definitely a show that would have been banned in my house.
Yeah?
Yeah. Any sort of premarital sex, like, I would have been in so much trouble watching this. So I was watching it now, and there's even a part of me, like a deep-seated part of me that was like, don't tell anyone! Dad. It reminds me of when that, there was a song, like, Let's Talk About Sex, babe, when that song came out. When I would listen to it, I felt like I was getting away with murder.
See, my mom was very upfront with, like, my mom's a nurse, so she was kind of...
My mom's a nurse. And she worked in the maternity ward. And so there's so many babies. Anyways, go on.
My mom banned, like, G.I. Joe and those types of, like, wrestling. Oh. I couldn't watch wrestling because of the violence, which I think is good, actually. Like, I think that's a good way to go. But with sex, she was very much, like, because she caught me with, when I was in, like, grade 7 or 8, I had... like swimsuit magazines. Oh. I never got like Playboys or any of that stuff, but like I had like Sports Illustrated Swimsuit or whatever. And she's like, you know, like that's a, she didn't say objectification, but she was more like, I think, no, it was like a, she was like, she like really guilted me the hell out of like, wow, just being attracted to like models and whatever, where then I'm like, I still have that issue where I feel bad about, yeah, it's just in general, I feel like somewhat ashamed about just the concept of sex, you know, where like, where that, yeah. So it's that, that's a difficult age to have that conversation with your child, mm-hmm, or even like they have it in schools all the time where it's like an issue of talking. Like, when do you talk to someone about sex? How do you bring them around?
Yeah.
Everything you say will ultimately either fuck them up or lead to some weird fetish.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Arthur's wife now has to dress up like a male lady for him to get an erection.
Exactly.
And clearly, like, he's so like emotionally immature because there's like, you saw them in bed? Or Yix, like, you saw them in bed? Were they naked? He was like, I didn't even find... It's like, yeah, they were naked, all right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think you said... like, yeah, you stared at them for 25 minutes.
It was the longest stare. And he's like, I don't know if they had clothing on. Like, how long you stared at them, you could probably describe the scars on her back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then his idea, too, of what's going to happen is, like, first Carol's going to move her toothbrush in, then a suitcase, then another suitcase, then she's moved it. And it's like, that's your work.
That whole part, though, I was writing that down. I was like, those are instructions. Let me, this is how I get married. Step one, toothbrush. Step two, suitcase.
And then we go back again to another little confrontation between Luke and Tim in the hallway. This is the time that Luke has brought a card for and wants Tim to give it to Shane. Shane's still unconscious. Card's not doing a lot, though. Like, that's not... Because it's a gesture.
Yeah.
And this is where I like it, because Tim, like, he's acting this... He's yelling at him. He lets him know. And then Shane... that's why you keep getting messed up. I keep calling Luke Shane. And then Luke fires back, and then he... he has no right in this at all, but he's the one who storms off, and it looks like Tim was going to take the card for him.
Mm-hmm. Again, though, Tim's hair is just something to behold. That's all I really want to say about that part.
Well, plus, it's the black flock of seagulls.
There
hair.
You go.
Is that what that is?
Yeah,
is
that that's mean? A great description. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying his hair is especially bad. There's just so many textures going on, so much manipulation that happened. Man, I just really want to talk about it. And also, this was the moment where I was like, oh, in this episode, they will only be speaking with each other.
But era of trying to have two or three hairstyles at once. Like now people have like, okay, you got a hairstyle. Mm-hmm. Where there, it would be like the mullet is two hairstyles, the flock of it's the 80s were so busy.
Yeah.
And no one could make a decision on anything.
Yeah.
So he's got this like double, like a runway on the front.
Exactly.
I was trying to think of like runway in the front, airstrip in the back. I don't know. just like, that doesn't do it justice. It just sounds right though.
Yeah.
Then we saw the bathroom scene where Melanie's talking about asking Snake out, and Kathleen walks in and overhears him. But it's kind of, she just kind of like smiles though. She doesn't.
Yeah.
She just kind of feels a bit embarrassed. And then it like totally pays off though, because they've been in a fight. Kathleen's the one here to kind of like show like when there's like an argument between Allison and Melanie, we're both like, I'll be Snake's partner.
Yeah.
I'll be Snake's partner.
Yeah.
And then Kathleen saves the day and she's like, oh, Melanie's his partner. Like totally just pulls it out of her ass. And she's like, oh, it's on my list though. So she gets to spend the time with Snake. So I thought that you gotta see like the friendship seeds are being rebuilt.
Exactly.
Do you rebuild seeds? Is that how that works?
I don't know. Resown?
also Joey's mom is there, she's pretty good actually. I like her on this. It's always the same mom, and she's like good at embarrassing Joey. She's like, she's even prettier than you said, Joey.
Yeah,
that's something my mom would totally do. It embarrass me.
I liked it. You know what I thought was interesting? How the ratio of student to parent escorting was like a 1-to-1. I'm like, what is this service that you get where you walk in, you get greeted, and then Snake and what's her name? Melonia? escorted just one family like up there. I was just like, this is such service.
Yeah, that is weird, I guess.
And then if that's where are your parents?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just take your own parents around if that's the case? That seems very off.
Exactly. It was a weird moment.
And then so when, for some reason, Melanie and Snake are, they send their parents into the teacher, I guess, into the teacher's class to talk to that teacher.
Yeah.
So they're alone, and Melanie asks Snake out, and she just has lipstick all over her teeth.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to deal with that?
No.
Scott, did you ever have to deal with that?
No. But I have, at that age, I remember girls experimenting with makeup and making some really crazy, weird decisions. Mm-hmm. And just being like, trying not to say something or make it awkward.
Yeah.
But I love that I still don't, like, she asked him out. He said yes, but then he had plans. Why don't you come back with... Let's hang out another night. Yes. You've agreed to hang out together.
Yes.
You don't know Make how much it of a work. Problem this is on the show.
Listen, it happens twice in this show. It's going to happen again later when Melanie asks the friend who had the eating disorder.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to hang out? And she's like, I can't. And then Melanie just walks away. Listen, with Melanie, you got one chance. You got one chance. If you don't make plans, she's out of there. There's no rescheduling. But
can they not read facial features on the other person? Because she was like, do you want to go to a movie? Snake was like, yeah. Like, I really want to go to this movie with you.
Yeah.
And they agree. And then he's like, oh, well, you can come to the party. And she's like, no, like, she doesn't want me coming to the party. Like,
exactly. I was amazed they brought up that as they made that an option where it's like, she can come to the party. And then she's like, Allison wouldn't want that. It was like, Allison's going to cancel this party when she finds out that Snake and you're going to the dance.
Exactly. You know what I think is funny? At the end of that scene where Snake says, oh, Melanie, you have red all over your teeth. And then she runs away super embarrassed. I'm like, Melanie, don't you realize the whole time you were having that conversation where he was super into it, you had it on your teeth then too? So you should just be like, oh, okay, it's no big deal. And said she runs away as if he was like, oh, you got a little herpes on your mouth or something. She's like, ah! And then like sprints out of there. There's no problem.
I still like that he rocks a garage employee shirt that has a snake patch on it. Oh no, did it have Archie on it?
Archie.
That was the name tag. No, earlier in the show, he had a snake.
I don't doubt it, though. He would have that.
Exactly. I think that was when he was wearing the plaid on plaid outfit.
Yeah.
It was like a yellow plaid shirt, red plaid tie. And then at the beginning, when they first saw him, Melanie and the other one were like, nice shirt. And he was like, thanks, my mom bought it. Oh, Snake's killing it. His mom buys him clothes. He loves math. He's getting all the girls.
And he got called a hunk like 4 times in that episode.
When Arthur's dad shows up, or Alex gives him the, welcome to Degrassi, Mr. Kobolowski. So Alex, the guy introducing everyone to Degrassi, he knows Mr. Kobolowski. He knows him.
Yeah.
But doesn't know that this isn't Mrs. Kobolowski because he makes that mistake. He's like, you must be Mrs. Kobolowski.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you know him by name?
Yeah.
That doesn't and then as soon as he says that, Arthur is just like, that is not my mom.
Yeah. But I will say, Arthur's dad's real insensitive for that moment. Like, what business does this woman that you're just dating have at a parent-teacher interview? I don't understand.
Yeah, that's really rationing up the relationship really fast.
Plus, it's like, this morning I just had this pretty tense moment where my son walked in on me where Carol slept over maybe for the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been a tough day. What should we do? Gonna bring her with me to parent teacher night.
Exactly.
Smooth things
in
over.
My Redskins jacket.
I also think Carol not doing... I think it kind of shows in the scene that Carol's not having the best time with this. Like, she's kind of on the fence, I think, about everything. Because as soon as Arthur says that, she's just like, I can't cope with this. I was like, oh, they're
Nor
done.
Should she. She did those super, The dad must have been like, "Hey, like, you, let's hang out tonight." Okay, I gotta go to this dumb thing for my kid. Yeah. Come along with it. We'll knock it out, and then we'll go to like the arcade or whatever other dumb thing he wants to do. And then she's like, "Fine, like, yeah, I'll go to this."
Exactly.
Doesn't anticipate being like, "You're not my mother." Like, can you imagine? Holy shit!
So weird.
This scene I love too, because the two blonde girls, Allison and the unnamed one, are totally shit talking Melanie, and you see her at like the bottom of the stairs. Yeah. She can hear it, and then boom, Kathleen walks in and just totally stands up for her, and like, mm-hmm. that was a nice moment, because Kathleen is like, there's one thing Kathleen is good at,
mm-hmm.
it is like, what is it called, like riding people out or whatever, what is that called, tearing people a new one. Like,
yeah
she's like so good at that.
You know what this reminded me of though? Oh, sorry. You know what this reminded me of? It just made me think about, you know what? Okay, well, I started, so I need to finish the story. I immediately was like, I don't want to say it anymore. But it just reminded me of my junior high experience where I felt like this whole drama around relationships and stuff like that was reserved for these like blonde-haired girls. Even earlier in the episode where they're like, she's a babe. And then they actually specifically mentioned when Monica was like, she's so blonde and beautiful. And I was just like, ugh, I'm just so annoyed. I'm so annoyed with these shows that reinforce this idea of beauty looking like this. And they get all this attention and blah, 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 blah.
I would say, though, like, probably one of the, like, most coveted girls, like the girl who's always dating the older guys, is Lucy.
Who's Lucy?
She's black. She's Lucy Fernandez. She was molested almost by a teacher. Yeah.
Who's Lucy? She was molested.
That's a memorable storyline.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
That's
even a problem. Oh, there was Lucy. She was loved by the teacher and was molested. You know, molested Lucy? Yeah, she was black. She was a catch.
I said
she
almost.
Was destroyed for life.
Yeah, it took offense. He said almost.
Oh, my goodness.
She ran out of that classroom.
Oh, goodness. Anyway, moment, it made me think, not even just of television, but it made me think of growing up and being like, this is who gets to have these conversations. This is who gets to have that kind of romantic interest.
Those people, and I love that I just used those people, but those people that are like the attractive ones in junior high, it never works out. Like, it's like child stars. They're never the attractive ones as adults. They're all... I would say more, like, at least in my experience, more often than not, the ones who were like the hot ones in like that period, they fall off a cliff. life takes them for a ride, and then
that's actually, well, I'm thinking about the two guys who were like the cool guys in my elementary school.
Yeah,
they had rough high schools. They're like, like both of them, I think, had kids before 21 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, anyways, that moment just made me think about. Not so much about all the television reinforcements of that ideal, but even just my personal experience of feeling like, this story arc makes sense. That these blonde girls are fighting over whatever.
Yeah, the hot guy.
Yeah.
Air quotes or whatever.
Exactly.
Big air quotes for Snake. So then I actually think Arthur's dad is like, I mean, okay, they're Canadian actors or whatever, but I kind of liked him in this scene, specifically at the end here when he had just been broken up, because like even like when he sits on the whoopee cushion, you just like, he's sad, like not happy like he was in the
sad whoopee cushion.
He's gone through a journey this episode, all right? He is not the man he was at the beginning,
because
he like sadly sits on it, and he's just like, Arthur's like, oh, sorry you broke up. He's like, yeah, it's just, you know, old guys get lonely too. Arthur's just like,
got real.
You got me, Dad. And she doesn't.
That makes it worse, right?
Way worse. Because he's just like, he doesn't say anything, but you just see the look that he's just like,
fuck.
Right? Arthur was trying so hard. Yeah. I feel like his big dad, do you want to slap my ass, Dad? Let's remember the good times. Aww.
So then it's the next day at school, and the scene we were talking about, Melanie and Kathleen, they're making up, and she says she's going to counseling now, you know, things are much better. And then Snake walks up to Melanie And then he has like the ask her to the dance where she says yes. So that was kind of nice, you know. They're getting together.
Yeah.
And I think that's like because the dance is like kind of. So I like how they kind of set things up a few episodes in advance too. Like the show Degrassi was very good about planting seeds, and really having like a lot of like pots on the fire kind of the same time. There's a lot of storylines like before, like you look at like Growing Pains or like most other kind of like shows at this time, they weren't,
well, they'd focus on a single storyline.
Exactly.
And they would
do arcs on this show. There were story arcs and they would bring people in and out and they'd be main character one episode, a background another.
Well, because it makes you feel like the school is actually happening. Because that's what's going on in a school. Like, you're not just following one character and then everyone else, nothing is going on. Other things are happening in all these other people's lives.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like Saved by the Bell, it's just the same six every time.
Yeah.
Anytime anything happens in school, it's those six people or whatever.
That's why I love seeing like Spike walk by, I think, in that scene.
Yeah, where they just like, they're not even in the episode, but they're just like, oh, they're around. By. Yeah.
Yeah, I do enjoy that.
Yeah, so I think that's a pretty cool aspect of the show. And so then the last scene is just kind of like Yik and Arthur sort of debriefing about the whole thing. And I couldn't believe Yik was like, why did she dump him? Like, you saw what happened there in the school. And Yik even, like, high fives over the breakup. It's like, oh, it's what you wanted. And then Arthur's just kind of, but my dad's not as happy. And a weird, the freeze frame is on Arthur shutting the locker.
That was a weird way to end that. Like, because that's the thing. Just what we talked about. But it doesn't wrap up that, like, it's a real cliffhanger of, like, is that guy going to get back with Sophie? That's her name, right?
Carol?
Carol, yeah. One generic white old lady's name, right?
Candace, whatever. Yeah.
Because normally, most of the episodes, if I remember, they would usually, like, cap on whatever the main storyline would kind of wrap up. There would be other lingering things, but the main storyline usually, like, had the arc within the episode, where that one didn't really, I guess it did because they're broken up and whatever, and you can't, like, it's a relationship outside of the school. But it's kind of weird for it to end
even
on that real cliffhanger that's got me wondering what's gonna happen.
Always do that though. They'll always like, they'll cut out the kind of scene that you think they, like most shows would have that scene where they're like, and now we hug, but they never show that scene. Like when Kathleen was going for that episode just ended with her, like when you found out that she had the eating disorder, that episode ends with her being like, don't tell anyone about my eating disorder, we're not friends anymore. And that's like the end of the episode. It's like, it's so like, you know what I mean? So then all this stuff has happened since then where she's like finally gone into counseling and like it was just like dirty looks for a while. So it's kind of interesting the way they do it that way.
Because life isn't that neat. Degrassi wasn't just a show. It was like a reality show. Life, imagine if it was, right?
Life is a laptop that gets very dirty.
Oh, God.
And sometimes people come over to your apartment and clean it for you.
So desperately, I would like to.
No, I'm just joking. I would never ask you to do that.
It's not. At this point, it would be a privilege. It would be an honor to just shine this right up.
I'm also like the kind of person whose glasses are always dirty and then some like... I remember, like, Merv, like, another comic in Toronto, just, like, grabbed my glasses, and he's like, Tim, give me those, cleaning them, you see out of these things.
Exactly. You know what I love, though, that, I don't know if I love, that was a big emotion to attach to what I'm about to say.
Sorry, I hate, sorry, yes. I mean, I hate.
No, I feel indifferent, I am intrigued by the next episode, which was Black and White. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to watch it. And then I'm going to listen intently to hear.
You're like a new fan.
To hear the thoughts on it. Because I think, interracial relationships among teenagers and preteens in the 80s?
Yeah.
Come on, Degrassi. So progressive, Degrassi.
So I'm trying to think of the storyline. Because I remember that they have a problem with it. Like, Michelle's dad.
It's the parents.
Yeah,
parents,
the dad.
Maybe it's because the guy's name is BLT. Maybe it's because he's named after a sandwich.
I think this one's coming back to me. I think she has him over to the house for the first time.
Yeah.
And they know that his name, they were like, oh, I'm having BLT over. Oh, BLT's coming. Yeah, bring BLT over. Oh, BLT, you want BLT over. Barbara. And then BLT gets there and they're like, you didn't mention it. The B stood for black.
Okay. They're like, we thought you meant a sandwich. This whole time, we thought you were bringing snacks to the house. For BLT. What's BLT's real name?
Bryant.
Oh, and those are his initials, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. You know, when I when you said BLT.
No, he just likes lettuce and tomato.
When you said BLT, I was like, isn't that a serial killer? But then I realized I was thinking BTK, the bind, torture, kill. No? No one else?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I
the
remember.
BTK serial killer who was called BTK for bind, torture, kill.
Yeah.
For the way, anyway. I was just like, man. But then I remembered, no, BLT has a different acronym. Anyway, really glad I brought that up.
So I guess that's pretty much everything. I feel like we've gone through this episode. What did you learn from this episode, Efi?
I learned that Carrot Top had just a really hard time as a young person. Can I say I have something really petty about this episode?
Sure,
just Yik and Arthur. If you like humor, you know, have humorous conversation. I just don't understand. Like, Arthur was sad and Yik opens this can in front of him and this thing like springs out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He may as well have punched him in the face.
Exactly. I just feel like this episode gives comedy a bad name.
I think you might be underestimating how funny that was in the 80s still. The 90s killed it, but the 80s, that was a hot joke.
Right? I guess. But I'm just like, oh, you know, have a funny conversation. Make a joke. That is with words, you know? Spice it up. I mean, anyways.
Words were beyond Arthur and Yik.
Unless they were about Carol
and
Arthur's father. And never about Yik. So many one-sided relationships in this show. But that's... So what I did learn, other than that, those things, is that, man, some people never grow up to... be responsible and conscientious adults. Sometimes you're just an oblivious dad in a Redskins jacket.
That's true.
Yeah.
Scott?
I learned a good greeting takes time and practice. Welcome to Degrassi. I learned I had two more. I learned that, Snake's a hunk.
Mm-hmm.
Snake is a hunk. Mm-hmm. He's a tall drink of water. when a woman touches you, she's after it.
Yeah.
And then it had nothing to do with the main storyline. Oh, darn it. It was a good one. It was my best one that I wanted to cap this
with,
and I lost it.
So much buildup.
Frank!
Would it come back to you if I delicately stroked your arm?
I'm too old to date.
Yes! That's the one.
That's the thing I struggle to remember. In my life, and I just struggle to remember it right now, but in my 30s, I am too old to date. Lock it down with someone or anybody, Scott. That's the...
Yeah. Though, to be fair, in this show, Carol looks 51 if a day.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
She looks like a grandmother.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what is going on here, Carol?
And I learned that I have a future, I think, in prop comedy.
Yeah.
So I think we should make our way to Joe's Joke Emporium. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We'll see everyone next time on Back to Degrassi.